Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Thanks, Paul. Hi, Marty. How are you this morning? Have you kept yourself warm?
All good, yeah. Quite cold, but actually pretty used to this kind of weather, so no problem.
I would imagine that the mood has been pretty positive after what happened on Tuesday night. It makes coming into the training ground feel a little bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it was important for the confidence, especially confidence of the players. At the end of the days, they are the ones that are... yeah, taking most of the pressure. They are the ones that they need to perform on the pitch. So all the credit to them. It was a fantastic victory. The way we achieved that victory, I think it's even a bigger boost of confidence, so to say.
Yeah, how important is it to you? Because you want to obviously get across your methods and you want to get across how you want to go about doing things. Is that easier when the players see it working and actually sort of coming to fruition?
100%. Every victory in all the sports, especially in football, that is a very emotional game, every victory reinforces the message, reinforces what we are doing. So it was very important as well. The small things that happen during the games that perhaps we ask the guys to try, or that we say, guys, look, if we do that way, this is going to happen. When they see that this is happening, it definitely reinforces the message. But without victories, forget, at the end, the message doesn't get the effect that the same as if you win games.
Yeah, and the importance, I suppose, of the 3 points was made even more obvious last night with Huddersfield getting that win that they got, because, you know, at least the gap to those teams ahead of you where you need to chase didn't get any bigger as a consequence of the midweek.
Yeah, but if I'm honest, I'm not looking so much at all the teams. I'm just looking at QPR. I'm just looking at how we can improve, how many points. I think at this stage of the season... I understand that you guys, media, perhaps supporters can have a look on it. But for us, it's not the relevant thing. The relevant thing is ourselves, how many points we will score in the next games, and to keep improving and to make sure that we have good performances. But it doesn't make sense when it's that long to start to look at the table at this moment.
And when we discussed before the Stoke game, you know, there'd been some talk, and you'd mentioned it about being clinical and taking chances and scoring chances. Therefore, how important was it that, for example, Lyndon, you know, got a couple of goals. I know one from the penalty spot, but from a striker's point of view, you used the word confidence earlier. It's a hugely important element to their game, isn't it?
100%. And we know that scorers, sometimes they are a bit like this. They can score from a sudden a lot of goals from nowhere. And then suddenly they get in this mood that perhaps whatever they try, they don't score. So it was a very important game for many players, for the whole team, for Lyndon as well. But we have been speaking actually about one concept that for me is a little bit as well. It works in football, it works in life. It's something that I heard Ralf Rangnick and Julian Nagelsmann to speak about it, that is this concept of forcing the luck. sometimes you cannot expect that the luck will come, but you need to be a bit more relentless. And I think that the second goal of Lindon is a bit of this. So we try to cross first from one side. There is a couple of rebounds, then the ball goes to the other side. We try again, and actually the cross is a deflection. And then still Lindon has a fantastic technical movement and he scores the goal. But without trying and going again and going again, perhaps that's the path that we miss against Norwich. And I'm so glad that in just a few days, the guys understood that we need to force our luck to produce the chances and to score the goals.
Yeah, so that's about sort of really continuing and working and not sort of necessarily giving up and just continuing to look for those options and continuing to look for those opportunities combined too, as you say, almost the instinctiveness as well that you can apply with the skills that you have.
It's a bit of combination of the kind of identity, the culture that I think we need about being extremely relentless on whatever we do, just believing what we do. And again, just to mention someone else, I really like Phil Jackson, former NBA coach, and he spoke a lot about chop the wood, carry water, day after day after day. This is a bit the process where we are, just building that culture where doesn't matter if we are down, doesn't matter if we score a goal, we are relentless into trying to score the next one. So, and I think this is a concept that it comes to the principles in our game. In the last third, we need to cross, we need to fill the box, and again and again and again, because you can put it in the other side. When we are defending, it's difficult to play against a team that it's going to hammer you again and again in the box by crossing, by play through, by 1v1. So those teams that are trying so hard again and again, then it's easier just to concede a goal or like it was in the third one, just concede an own goal, for instance.
And just picking up on what you were saying there, your developments as a coach and as a leader, where are those influences come from with your development, but and how much of that's come from outside of football? You've obviously mentioned there about, you know, non-football referencing. Why and how is that important to you when it comes to your continued development, no doubt, and also where you've got to so far?
Yeah, very much. I'm an open-minded person, so I like to listen to people from everywhere. I try to read books and listen to people from every area, from business, different industries. But especially, of course, in sport, I think that the core of a sport is not that different when it comes to football than to other sports. I really like NBA. I think there are fantastic coaches, players in that league. I learned a lot from, for instance, handball as a game has a lot of similarities with football in terms of defense on how to attack very low, compact defense. I learned a lot from actually grass hockey. I got some good friends. One of him is a national team coach in Spain. The other one is coaching in Bundesliga. And actually we speak very often, almost every week, because there are a lot of similarities in the game as well. So I try to learn from everywhere. And actually, yeah, it's always very inspirational to listen to other people.
Yeah, never stop learning, I suppose. That's what they always say, don't they? What have you learned in your assessment so far of Preston and what you can face tomorrow night?
Well, we know that it's a little bit of an opponent that will play rough in some way, that is a direct style, that it's a team that probably is not happy after losing 4-0. So we expect 100% a reaction in that sense. So we need to do a lot of good things, but it's about, especially we know that they will play the reg, that they build a lot from the second ball, that they have these skills when it comes to counter-attack as well, with some players that can run into the space. And I think that in that sense, we need to be very aware that the kind of game will be closer to Rotherham than to Norwich, so to say. So, yeah, I think that we have a pretty decent picture about the kind of game that they will try to play. And then it's about us performing and understanding what we need to do to put the game a little bit in our side.
And just finally for me, statistics are an amazing thing, aren't they, really? So going into the Stoke game and people saying, well, you'd come in and you'd yet to get a win in three games, but you can spin that and go, it's one defeat in four. So you're already starting to build some momentum. How important would it be to try and continue that momentum in the next game and ahead of and having a weekend? Well, I'm not sure you'll have a weekend off, but having a Saturday off.
Yeah, very much. We spoke with the guys about it, that in the moment that we pick the first victory, it's about making sure that we can try to build the momentum, especially in a league like this, where many times when you get 3-4 results in a row, then suddenly your situation can change drastically, I would say. What I value is that in the last four games, the team competed really well. I think that we have not been worse than any of the opponents we play against, that for very few moments on each game, perhaps the opponent was a little bit better, but in the overall, I think perhaps we were better than all the opponents, in my opinion, or at least competing at really good level. And now what I know is that we can just improve. So my main focus is to make sure that the performance tomorrow is a good one, and that we can hopefully keep collecting points again for the confidence of the guys and everybody to see that this team has the quality to get victories.
Let's keep your fingers crossed for that. Thank you for your time. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marty.
Hey, Marty.
Hey.
Sinclair Armstrong, he injured himself in the warm-up on Tuesday. What was the problem, and is he going to be sidelined for some time, or is he just a minor thing?
Yeah, he got a bit of a feeling since he came back from the international break with these two games he played with Ireland. So he had a small feeling on his thigh, and unfortunately it has not get better until the point that during the warm-up, he felt that he was not ready, and now we're assessing if he's ready for tomorrow against Preston or not.
So would you say, I mean, is it unlikely that he's going to be involved, or too early to say?
The doctors were now working with him, and they will give me the last news after this meeting with you guys.
Okay. How pleasing was it for, you know, the subs you made in the second half all made a contribution? I mean, obviously Ziad and Charlie Kelman have been sort of peripheral players in the squad. They both sort of made contributions, you know, Ziad massively for the third goal, and Charlie Kelman sort of won the ball for Chris Willock to run through and score. How pleasing was that for you to see these sort of younger players, you know, making an impact?
No, very much, very pleasant, because I'm happy for them. Not only these two that you mentioned, but many others are working really, really hard on trainings. All the credit to them, because the effort, the commitment that they show in the specific actions, but actually good level that they are showing every time someone is jumping from the bench, has been really, really good. I speak a lot with the players about not only from game to game and in this extremely long league as it is championship, how important it will be. Everybody in the squad will have a moment during a season to be important. But as well on the games, this is what I call the bench impact. I do believe a lot in the players from the bench coming with fresh legs, understanding what they need to do. And in that sense, as you said, Charlie, Ziad were really good. But I do think as well that Jake, the minutes he played, he played at really high level. I think that Chrissy showed his quality with this goal. So everybody is contributing in all the games to try to make sure that we are a strong team and a strong squad.
Early when Chris came on, he appeared to hurt his foot or his calf. And there was a sort of feeling, oh no, here we go again. I mean, for him, that was almost to play through that and, you know, trust his body was almost as important as scoring the goal and setting up the second goal for Lyndon.
Yeah, very important. And we spoke with Chrissy about trying to make sure that he was fresh for this game, because obviously he got a massive peak now after not being playing that much in the beginning of the season. Suddenly in the last four games, he has been playing a lot. So actually I wanted to start with Chrissy because he's doing well and it's a player that I believe a lot in. But at the same time, we knew about, okay, what it's a tough week, this one, with three games in a few days, and perhaps the approach worked perfect according to the plan. Then the way he plays, he's very good on 1v1. He's really good in the smaller spaces. He got a knock, so actually it was just a hit. And I think it was around his thigh or something that he was a bit complaining. So for a moment, we were a bit unsure, but he handled really well. And that shows that he really wants to contribute and he's committing. And then he scored a fantastic goal. So yeah, all was very good for him, I think.
That extra pace of Smith, was that the plan as well? Was that why you started Smith?
Yeah, it was part of the plan because we knew that Smithy was sanctioned in the game against Norwich. So as well, his pace is very important for us because he's a player that can go on the depth, that can attack on behind. And this is an important tool for us to have these kind of players as well. And I think that he did excellent. He helped us with his energy, with his capacity to run deep. And that was very helpful, especially in the beginning of the game, but then as well when they got the red card to attack against a deep block that you need that as well, short or the space in these short spaces.
And just you mentioned Jake Clark-Salter. He looked very good when he came on against Stoke. I mean, he's in a position now with his sort of body. He's sort of been very stop-start with injury since he's been at QPR. is he in a position you think that he can do a 90 minutes?
What I think is that he's training at very good level. I think that he's showing that he's ready to start a game if we need him. And that was a very good milestone, so to say, that he played decent amount of minutes. I think he played around 30, 35 minutes. And he competed very good level, showing that despite he has been out for several weeks, actually his performance level was very good. So we'll see if he's ready to play 90 minutes. It depends a lot on the kind of games, especially on the central backs, because the more open space, the more uncontrolled or up and down game it is for us, then the central backs obviously are covering more distance in a different kind of effort than not if we have a game with a lot of short transitions that we travel together as a block and we attack the blocks, when then the central backs' efforts are completely different.
And just, for parts of the game, Stoke, particularly in midfield, but we're sort of on top. In many ways, it was kind of ironic because you've got your first win, but in some parts of the game, it was sort of the poorest you've played in areas in the four games you've been involved. How important was that, though, just to kind of get through that and get the win?
What I valued the most on the last game, obviously, it was my second game at home. So to get one draw, one victory as a start at home, I think it's important to build that feeling, commitment, all the group with the supporters, that atmosphere all together, that we should pick a lot of points at home. This is, for me, a very important target. The second one, it was the mentality, because it kind of, from the 2-0, we went to the 1-1 just before the halftime. It was easy mentally to get affected by that. Then when we start a very sharp second half, in my opinion, the first 10, 15 minutes were much better than probably the average of the first half. Then suddenly they got a red card. Then it looks that it's going on our way. And then they score the second goal. So mentally was a roller coaster, and we had to be very, very strong. And this is where I put most of the credit to the guys, the mentality that they show to turn a game after scoring the 2-2, picking the ball and trying to score the third one, and then not just stay low, but try to go for the fourth one. I think that shows a clear idea about what we want to be as a team. Said that, we are aware that we need to improve in many areas. And the reality is that in the first half against Stoke, we struggled to build up and break lines in the way we would like to, that we were a bit more up and down game, a little bit longer transitions defensively than what we would like to. So there are many areas of the game that we will need to improve if we want to be the team that I think we can be.
Great stuff. Thanks a lot, Marty. Good luck tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.